Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game. I know.
Welcome in to the Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Hoppin, joined by my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our amazing producer, Garner, Ryan. Guys, how you doing? Andrew, we just solved one of your dynasty draft picks that you were toiling over for the last 18 days. How does that feel?
Yeah, we're in a slow draft, and it definitely feels like it took that long. But dynasty rankings always fuck with me compared to what I think of guys in redraft. And I am trying to just win now, so try to throw the age out the window and just say, you know, age is just a number. We'll worry about when these guys retire or fall off the cliff when that actually happens. So Mark Ingram's the newest team member of Andrew Mackins.
Yeah, it's a tough balance to have. I think a lot of people always overrate age in dynasty, so good on you for keeping your head on straight. How are your guys' Memorial Day weekends? Enjoying a nice extra day off, even though it felt like it was just the same.
Yeah. Yesterday felt like Sunday still.
Yeah, no, the days blend together, but was this point didn't have the food grill out. You know, it wasn't, weren't able to like walk around. You didn't really smell like everyone grilling at once. Kind of missed that.
I know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I hear that. Well, hopefully we can give you some extra juicy content today on Pod After Touchdown. We're going to start with our kickoff question, followed, as always, by our Mental Health Minute. And then today's focus will be the quarterback ranking debates. Obviously, the last two positions in running back and wide receiver that we've covered, I have dominated the debates. So Andrew, I hope you at least bring your B+ game today so that there can be a little bit of competition. But
I tried marginally harder this week. So
okay, that's good to know. All right. So with that, let's get right into our kickoff question.
And this game is underway.
So we had one question in here about our favorite late round quarterback, but I actually want to call a quick audible because I think we'll have plenty of time to talk about our favorite late round players in the future. And I want to change the subject to Lamar Jackson because he's not someone we're going to talk about today, but he is obviously a big focus in fantasy football because of what he did last year and the fact that he's going to go extremely high in drafts this season. And my question to you, Andrew, is a simple one, and Garner as well. At what point would you consider drafting him in your league? Just let's say it's a 1QB, you know, half point PPR league, like we always talk about. At what point, at what sort of pick overall, or give me a range even, are you considering drafting Lamar Jackson?
For me, it would always be late second, early third, if you're looking for that bump from either like the QB or the tight end position, just because if you take someone too early, it puts you in a hole at running back and wide receiver, in my opinion, because in most leagues, you have to start two running backs and two wide receivers. So I think we generally preach wait on quarterback just because you can find replacement levels if you stream or some guys can put up comparable numbers to Lamar potentially, but just not be as consistent week to week. So for me, it's like when I think of roster construction, ideal situation is where I've got like an early pick, like the first four picks. So I'm getting a top running back or Michael Thomas if I'm feeling cheeky. Then when it comes back around and Lamar Jackson is still there, I mean, I'm going to take him because he has that value above other QBs. And then I can still get, like, hopefully a top 12 wide receiver or fringe wide receiver one at the beginning of the third round. So you've got that three-headed monster to build the rest of your team around.
I think I'm close to agreeing with you there, but I'm going to say at least the third round. I don't know if I'd venture up into the second round. It's still just a bit of a reach for me, but I mean, last year I thought same range for Mahomes was about the, like, appropriate or on the edge of appropriate, like end of the second into the third. And I was hesitant. I was like, I can understand it. And then he still performed to that. So I can see the value of it, but third is, I think, as high as I would go.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Garner. I'd probably even push it back even further to the end of the late third round. I don't expect him to fall that far unless I'm in a quote-unquote experts league where everyone really is waiting on quarterback because they know of the replaceability of the position. I remember having a draft last year where Mahomes actually fell to me in the fourth round, and it was like 402 or 403. So early in the fourth round, I was like, you know what? You know, this might be the only chance I have to grab him in a league. So I pulled the trigger and I made the playoffs in the league. I had a good starting lineup around him too. But I think to your point of being able to grab at least two solid players and then have a quarterback that is ideally giving you a 5-point advantage throughout the season is going to make the difference. So just wanted to catch that. I will point out that JJ Zacharyson actually wrote a great article sort of outlining if the late round quarterback strategy is dead, and it certainly is not. Obviously, I think a lot of people expect Jackson to regress quite a bit, which is why none of us are willing to put at least a first round draft price on him.
Well, yeah. I mean, the obvious point there is like the reason Mahomes and Jackson were so good the years they broke out is because they were late round draft picks. And so it's more likely than not he will regress like the way Mahomes did after his breakout season.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, let's move into our mental health minute. What would I want to talk about this week is ESPN Daily, which is a daily podcast by Mina Kimes. Fantastic podcast. They cover about something for about 20 minutes each day. And last week they had an episode covering Hayden Hurst, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, and his battle with depression, his attempt at suicide. It was a fairly graphic episode, to be quite frank, but very eye-opening. He talked a lot about what he wants to do with his platform and bringing light to mental health, using others within football to hopefully bring more light to it and help others who are in the same situation or were in the same situation as him. I thought it was a very inspiring story to hear about, again, a professional athlete who, you know, sometimes we see as invincible and they go through some of the same trials and tribulations as us. I do also want to call out that the FF Realist is on Twitter is going to be hosting a podathon that will be supporting the Hayden Hurst Foundation, which is a foundation to raise money for mental health awareness and suicide prevention. So similar to the endeavor that we are embarking on here with our Mental Health Minute and Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. So I encourage you all to take a listen to the episode if you haven't. Again, it's about 20, 25 minutes, doesn't take too long, and is a great overall episode. All right, so with that, let's get into the debates. Andrew's pits are sweating. He is so nervous.
I showered today.
I saw a report that today that 1 in 3 people admit to showering less during quarantine. But it sounds like it's not you. But anyway, we're going to talk about quarterbacks today. As we've done the past couple episodes, we will have the person who has the player ranked higher go first, and they will have 60 seconds to make a compelling case on why this quarterback should be ranked where he is. And the person who has him ranked lower will then have 60 seconds to provide a rebuttal. I want to mention that all of the quarterbacks that we're going to be talking about today are outside of the quarterback one range for, again, a standard quarterback league. But because so many people are moving to super flex or just regular two QB leagues, I thought it was important to talk about these guys. And Andrew and I's ranking of the top 12 is actually fairly similar, with a couple of guys off by one or two spots. But there is so much more emphasis on the super flex and two quarterback leagues that these are all guys that should be well in consideration for your backup quarterback.
Quick sidebar on that, just because I think it's so hilarious when people ask you on Twitter, like fantasy football Twitter, to grade a trade or what player you like more, and they're talking about their league. We have this fucking decision tree on what type of league it is now because there's so many variants. It's like first, redraft or dynasty? Best ball or not best ball? 1 QB, super flex, 2 QB. Tight end premium, not tight end premium. PPR, not half PPR. There's so many different options that I just want to tweet out the whole map, like, because you basically have to tell someone so we know, like, the rules that you're playing by.
It's funny you mention that.
And it's just like, Jesus, there's so many.
I was debating with someone about Darren Waller today on Twitter, and then three or four tweets later, I found out he was talking about him in the context of Dynasty, and I was talking about him in the context of Redraft. So I was like, okay, well, that's a little bit different. I didn't realize that. I was like, yeah, I didn't realize TJ Hockenson was getting drafted before Darren Waller in Redraft, but it makes a little bit more sense when you add the Dynasty spin to it. All right. So our first player is Baker Mayfield. And there was a lot of hype on Baker Mayfield going into last season. All of the Browns had a lot of hype as well. So he is currently not being drafted nearly as highly as he was last year. I've got him ranked at 12. Andrew has him at 19, so seven spots below. And ECR is smack dab in the middle of us at 15. I'm going to get started, and with that, let the bloodbath begin. So Baker Mayfield, like I said, is basically the definition of a post-hype sleeper. He had a disappointing season last year, but I don't think a quarterback 19 ranking is justified. He faced one of the toughest schedules for quarterbacks last year, so that difficulty in opponents is likely to regress. Even with the lackluster offensive line last year, Mayfield posted a 40.6 completion percentage under pressure, which was the sixth best mark in the league. Outside of the schedule, the only thing that's really different about Mayfield's situation between last year and this year is the team's head coach. Obviously, it's hard to get worse than what Freddie Kitchens did last year, and Kevin Stefanski will have a full offseason to prepare with all of Mayfield's primary weapons. They added Austin Hooper. Murphy's Law just hit so hard for the Browns last year, so if they're even able to improve slightly, I'm confident that Mayfield can end as a QB1.
I think that's a pretty good argument. You mentioned that he's a post-hype sleeper, but that doesn't mean you have to pay QB1 capital for him in terms of your ranking there. Yeah, they improved the line and they moved on from Freddie Kitchens quickly. It feels like it'll be hard for Baker to suck more than he did last year. But they're moving on to a first-time head coach in Kevin Stefanski. Mike Zimmer was, loved Stefanski because they like to run the ball. And I think that that's going to continue in the Browns' offense this year. Just for context, QB fantasy finishes the last 3 years in Minnesota. Keenum was QB 14 in 2017. Kirk Cousins was QB 13 and QB 15 in 2018 and 2019, respectively. So with a first-time head coach coming in to install a new offense, I think they're still going to have growing pains like last year, bringing in a run-heavy attack. I just can't see Baker being a QB1, so that ranking of 12 is too high for me.
I mean, you basically made the case for me saying that Cousins and Keenum finished within the top 15 of quarterbacks, but you have him.
Well, you have him at 12, so it's too damn high.
I mean, do you think? I want to ask Mackin, so who do you think is better, Cousins or Baker, though? Just on their own, like without the team around them?
Well, obviously the situation matters. Surprisingly, I do have Baker ranked one spot higher than Cousins going into this season. But my point being that I have him, Baker, that is at 19, because I'm not willing to pay for his upside based on him taking a step back last year from his rookie season.
Gotcha. I think that's a fair point, but I'm going to give this one to Sam. And I think my point to Mackin's here, again, if you're preferring Baker more, argument I make for Sam here adding on is all of the weapons. I like Baker's weapons more, and if you have more confidence and like Baker more than Cousins, if you put him in the same offense but give him better weapons, then I would hopefully expect better results.
Yeah, and I think it's debatable whether Baker has – better weapons or not. I mean, I think the wide receiver duo that Baker has is a bit of a wash relative to what Cousins had last year. I think the tight end is an upgrade and the running back is probably a wash too. So I know Stefanski likes to use his tight ends. So I think that might help Baker even more.
But yeah, I'm willing to concede that I'm too low on him, but I still think that 12 is like too high. And we had this debate before, so it's hard to say. Like, you know, when I put someone lower, it's just because I'm not willing to pay or draft him as the 12th QB off the board. And so that could be a philosophical difference too.
All right. Well, this next player we have a very philosophical difference on. And I say philosophical because it's Philip Rivers. And you have him ranked 18th, so one spot ahead of the aforementioned Baker Mayfield. I have Philip Rivers ranked at 26th, so I'm not even considering him really in a 2QB league. And ECR is, again, right in the middle of us at 22. So, Andrew, I will give you the floor.
Thank you, Sam. Now, we just talked about Baker kind of being in a similar situation with the similar weapons of the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. But when you look at Philip Rivers compared to what he did last year, he's going into a completely different situation that is going to be miles better than what he was experiencing last year. The offensive line for the Chargers was ranked 29th by Pro Football Focus last year. And he was being forced to chuck the ball a lot under pressure and do that when they were down in games. Now he's moving to Indianapolis, where he's going to be behind the number 3 ranked line by PFF last year. In the past 3 years, he's been QB 18, QB 11, and QB 8 going back to 2017. So, or 2019, 18, 17. And I think this improved situation makes his place on the QB rankings QB 18 minimum, if not better for his performance going into 2020.
Okay, so you basically said that his situation was better because his offensive line is better, but who are his weapons? A battered and bruised 30-year-old T.Y. Hilton, two young, potentially untrustworthy receivers in Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell, and an average tight end in Jack Doyle. Rivers himself is 38 years old, and with better weapons last year on a team that was, like you mentioned, forced to throw the ball a ton, he finished as the quarterback 23 in points per game, which was worse than Andy Dalton on a points per game basis. You heard me right, worse than Andy Dalton. You think they drafted Jonathan Taylor and kept Marlon Mack to let Phil be slinging the ball around? Not a chance. This team is going to be more conservative. The defense is hopefully going to be improved. They're not facing as tough a competition in the AFC South as Rivers was in the AFC West. And I don't even want to take him as my second quarterback, like I said. So, Garner, are you going to go with the better offensive line or the worse weapons?
That's a tough one. Is she said, I mean, there's not a lot of weapons, but, I mean, that offensive line is a hell of a line.
You could argue he has better running back weapons, like the overall, because you mentioned Jonathan Taylor. You mentioned Marlon Mack. Like you said,
you think those two are better than Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler.
Well, Melvin Gordon isn't on the Chargers anymore, so suck on that.
Well, he was last year. That's irrelevant whether he's on the team now.
To be fair, he's only on the team like half the year.
No, he was on the team.
Well, all right, he was on the year. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should just cut that part out then.
No, keep it in. Keep it in.
I want to agree with Mackens, but Sam has a much better argument here that, I mean, he's getting up there in age. The weapons are fall off compared to before, and they've got two solid running backs that are going to let them run the ball a lot. So might not be in the stars for him to be a starter for maybe two games for you if you need him.
We're talking about the QB 18, like 26 here. So it's like, whether is he worth rostering in a super flex league?
Right. But again, that's the point I made at the top of the show, or the top of these debates, is these guys won't be in your consideration set for a one QB league, but they most definitely will be in a super flex. Maybe you're in a 16 team league. And it's a 16-team league, one quarterback league, and most of the people draft two quarterbacks. Like, then you're going to have to think about taking Rivers as well. So glad I got the win there, but this one might be a little bit harder for me to win, and that's with Gardner Minshew. I've got him ranked 15th. Andrew and ECR both have him ranked at 24. So I am a bit outside the consensus here, and I'm just going to jump right in. Minshew finished as a quarterback one in 43% of his games last season in John DeFilippo's dysfunctional offense. The Jaguars ranked 26th in scoring and 31st in red zone scoring percentage, and now Minshew gets to work with Jay Gruden. He finished third behind only Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo, who were both in the Super Bowl, on completion percentage on throws beyond 20 yards. We always talk about quarterbacks wanting to get off to a hot start and sort of looking at the schedule early on. He has the fifth softest schedule for quarterbacks in weeks 1 through 5 of this year. Last year, he had the fifth most rushing yards among 2019 QBs, and the second most rushing yards on scrambles behind only Lamar Jackson, but he didn't score a single rushing touchdown. So positive regression is coming. If the rushing floor doesn't do it for you, this defense got worse, and they're just going to need to throw the ball even more. Plus, he wears jorts all the time, which, come on.
Well, the fact that he's wearing jorts is one of the reasons that you should not be drafting him this high, because the Gardner Minshew aura is making everyone look at this guy through rose-colored glasses. And yeah, he showed some flashes last year. You could even say that he captivated the country, but that doesn't mean you can overpay for him. He had a great 16-game pace after those first 5 weeks last year. So it was over 4,000 yards, 29 TDs, 3 interceptions. But for who Minshew profiles as coming out of college, it was like a sixth-round draft pick or something. As the season went on and that the bad Jaguars were worn on by more difficult teams to face, he had only two games where he threw over 300 yards passing. He had four games where he actually threw fewer than 200 passing yards. And I just look at that sample size and say, I don't know how easy it is for him to improve on it when we've only seen 1 year of him in the NFL. You can argue that the team's projected to be bad and they're going to be throwing more, but I think he's going to be forcing the ball into a lot more tighter windows and be throwing a lot more interceptions along the way. And I know I'm going a little bit over time here, but he's not even registering on the ADP in fantasy football calculator. So you can draft him as like a last round pick and bank on that upside that way.
Happily, I will. But Garner, are you going to, is the real question.
I'll tell you right now that I'm not. I'm, or am, I don't know, whatever way it is. I'm going with Mackens here. I lost track of how that was worded. But I, can you guys answer for me, who are his weapons besides Chark?
It was probably LaVishka Chenault, who's a rookie.
D.D. Westbrook.
And D.D. Westbrook, who
they brought Tyler Eifert in.
Oh, you're going to rely on Tyler Eifert, eh?
They brought Chris Thompson in to play out of the backfield.
Oh, yeah, for when Fournette wants to be traded out.
Yeah. I mean, his weapons are his legs as well. You can't forget that. He's got wheels.
Yeah, but, I mean, if that's the only weapons he's going to be able to utilize, I'm definitely siding with Mackens on this one.
All right. Well, I've still got a comfortable 2-1 lead, but Andrew, you are on the hot seat right now talking about Matthew Stafford, who you have ranked 9th, which is the highest of any of the quarterbacks we're going to talk about tonight. I have him ranked 9 spots lower than that at 18, and ECR is split between us again at 13. So, Andrew, why don't you talk about this NFC North quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I look at Stafford's performance last year and think that he can do a very good rendition of that across 16 games, and that's what makes him a QB1. His 16-game pace last season was just shy of 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, which would have been, like, if Jameis Winston put out those numbers, he would have gotten a multi-million dollar contract with Tampa Bay. We talked about this last week. I believe that Galladay is a reliable deep threat and red zone connection for Stafford. We both agree Marvin Jones is criminally underrated as a wide receiver too. Hockenson is going to be taking another step forward. They've got a combination of Kerryon Johnson and the newly added DeAndre Swift to help with the running game and catch passes out of the backfield. So I think health was the only thing keeping Stafford out of the top of the rankings last year. And I think he's going to be out there getting those fourth quarter comebacks, getting all of the garbage points at the end of games, and really securing his spot as a top passer in the league.
Yeah, but are DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson better than Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler? That's a real question we got to be asking ourselves. To put it frankly, I just don't believe in 8 games in which he was on pace to hit career marks in almost every major category. If he were to have completed the season and stayed on that pace, everybody would be screaming regression to his career average, which is much lower than all of those. But because it was just a portion of the season, people are saying, wow, look at what Stafford was able to do in his limited sample. This is surely to continue. But he's one of those guys that almost everyone in the industry loves because you can get him late. But people will start reaching on him because they think he has the same potential as last year, but he just doesn't. I'll concede that he's got some great weapons and has 2 really, really good receivers in Galladay and Jones. But over the past 7 years, he's never finished higher than quarterback 7. He is the prototypical, fringe quarterback 1, which is not the type of ceiling I'm looking for. And his average finish is around quarterback 11. So you can believe in 8 games all you want. I'm going to look at the 8-plus years of his career.
Mackens, any last-minute rebuttal before I give my verdict?
Nope, I stand by my argument.
All right, that's good because you won this one.
Oh.
Hey!
I
pulled the rope-a-dope on me.
Yeah, no, Mackens pointed out a lot of good arguments here. Again, like, it's tough to say, like, you're extrapolating this is a 16-game pace, but even if you reduce all those numbers by a good chunk, I mean, if he throws 1,000 less yards, 8 less touchdowns, and a couple less interceptions, he's still 4,000 yards, 30 TDs, and 8 picks, which isn't that bad. And gotta give Sam crap, too, because his Minshew argument was a lot of like extrapolating data from some good games from him, and then he leads off his staff for an argument with, let's not extrapolate data from 8 games here and apply it to next year.
Hey, you got to pick and choose any way you can.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this last guy we're not going to be able to extrapolate any data with because he is a rookie, and that's Joe Burrow. And I've got him ranked 14th. Andrew and ECR both have him ranked outside of the top 20. So I'm buying into Burrow, as they say. And I'll get started right away. I'll admit it. I'm chasing the upside here and banking on him living up to the hype. We've seen some number one overall draft picks not live up to the hype. And because he's a rookie, we don't have any basis of how he'll do in the NFL. But don't forget that he set records as a senior at LSU. He threw for 60 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards, won the national championship, and won the Heisman. He's entering the NFL, though, with one of the best wide receiver cores in the NFL with A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, Auden Tate, and T. Higgins, who they drafted in the second round, who he's been working with this offseason. The defense still isn't great, so they'll be passing the ball plenty, especially with the other offenses that they face in the AFC North. And finally, he's got wheels. Garner, I know this didn't tickle your fancy earlier with Minshew, but he can scramble when needed. He ran for over 350 yards in each of his final two seasons at LSU. He's no Lamar Jackson, but he's got a similar rushing floor to Minshew that I think will offer a good quarterback one upside.
Okay, so a couple of things I heard in there. You mentioned that he's got weapons. You name-dropped Auden Tate in there. First off, I don't think he's proved anything in the NFL yet as a weapon. Neither has T. Higgins. And A.J. Green, when was the last year he was doing anything productive? 2018, 2017 maybe? He didn't even play all last year. So I don't know if we can talk about how high-flying this offense in on a team that it has historically been bad is just going to turn it around like Sean McVay turned around the Rams. In terms of Burrow himself, you know, coming in as a number one overall draft pick, we've seen Baker finish as the QB14 in his rookie season, and Murray finished as QB8. But both of these guys, I think, were known even more for their rushing than Burrow. Baker had 39 rushing attempts as a rookie. Murray, clearly the fastest and the best runner of this trio, had 93 rushing attempts for 4 TDs last year. And that's what helped him with his floor. I don't see this rushing upside from Burrow at all in the NFL, where defenders are going to be way faster than they were in college.
I don't think it's upside, but it's a floor that he gives you. If he's rushing for 20, 30 points a game, that's an extra, having trouble doing math, like an extra 100 yards passing that he doesn't have to throw. I mean, Garner, I guess it just depends on whether you believe in the weapons or not, because we both feel one way about the weapons over the other. The last thing I'll add, since you gave Andrew a rebuttal last time, I'll take his rebuttal time. They do add Jonah Williams back to their offensive line. So basically two first round picks this year. But anyway, make your decision.
Yeah,
does Andrew get his first overall victory, or am I still our victor?
I wish I could give it to Mackens, but I can't. It goes to Sam. It's probably going to kill me, but I stupidly do believe in the wide receiver core overall, or at least believe in them enough in Cincinnati to support Burrow being just outside of the QB1. And like you said, too, that they're still not great on defense, so theoretically should be passing a lot as well, or at least have the ball on offense, too.
I'll take it. Andrew, anything to add?
You
made it close this time. It was 2-2 entering the final debate.
Yeah. Thought I might have it with that one because rookie QBs generally struggle a bit at the beginning. They don't just come in and take the league by storm. It's usually second-year leap where guys...
You kind of made that argument against yourself, though, when you point out that Baker and Murray both finished, I think, top 15 in their rookie years. And
yeah, I mean, I was trying to pin that on
and Sam's going 14.
I was trying to specifically pin that on the rushing, which I don't think Burrow's going to do in the NFL. I think he's going to be a pocket passer.
That's fair.
But you made your mind up already, so.
Only time will tell. You'll have a final shot at redemption as we talk through our tight end rankings next week. But until then, I am your host, Sam Hoppen, along with my co-host, Andrew Mackins, and our producer, Ryan Garner. Please, if you have, take time to check out our Fantasy Football Mental Health Initiative. And you can check us out on Twitter at PodAfterTD. And with that, the kick
is good.
See ya. Thank you.